There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The big question.
The big question today really is a big question. We're fitting about 2 millennia into the space of less than 20 minutes. So good luck to Marn, who's reviewing the book. Today's question is, what is the history of paper? Or rather, can we cover the history of paper in 20 minutes? So you're here to answer that question with by reviewing Paper, Paging Through History by Mark Kalansky. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the book?
I think it's a brilliant book. And I think it's such an interesting, it's an interesting history, because when you hear about a book about the history of paper, you don't think of anything epic. There haven't been wars for paper or, you know, great love stories attached to the history of paper. But then reading this book, it's really about the history of ideas and the history of how ideas are recorded. And I think Mark Kalansky starts this book in a brilliant way, where he describes how are human beings different from any other creature on the planet. And I'm going to read you guys a very short bit where he says that, you know, animals communicate and animals build their own environment, so do humans. But specifically, there is one truly unique human trait people record. They record their deeds, their emotions, their thoughts, and their ideas. They have an impulse to record almost everything that enters their minds and to save it for future generations. And it is this urge that led to the invention of paper. Other recording devices such as stones, clay boards, barks, and skins existed before paper, but once paper was developed, its advantages made it dominant, which I think is so interesting because all of us in some way, shape, or form record our lives. And I think being a journalist and being a writer and working for a newspaper, as many of us know, the magazine industry or the newspaper industry for the past 20 years all over the world has, you know, been in this state of panic of whether it's going to survive because of the social or the digital revolution. And I think what's really interesting reading this book is that something I never really thought about is that paper, when it first arrived to the world in different forms, was actually resisted and thought of as this great evil in technology, because before that, people recorded their history through the oral tradition of storytelling. And there's a great part in this book where Mark Kalansky talks about, you know, Plato and Socrates having this discussion about the importance of memory, and that if we are just to write things down and read them from a book, that means that we're not really tapping into true intelligence or true wisdom, because true wisdom and intelligence comes from memory, which is kind of true today, because now if you ask somebody about a fact or information, they just put out their phone and Google it. Mm-hmm. So that argument exists, but what's interesting is that, and I think Stephen Fry has said this a few times, is that just because there's an elevator doesn't mean that people don't use the stairs don't use the escalator.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with paper. Once heating was invented, doesn't mean people don't use the fireplace. Once, you know, the radio came, doesn't mean the theater died. So these things, so paper and books, doesn't mean they're ending. It's just the way we interact with them is changing. I think that's one of the main points in the book, with a lot of very interesting facts and information around that main idea.
Mm. Yeah. But before the sort of paper and books becoming more widespread, it was written documents were kept very close.
Yeah.
And so it was a very elite few, you know, whether it was in monasteries, whether it was sort of the great thinkers of the day.
Yeah.
But the most of the population had no access.
Had
to,
no access.
You know, and the one of the first major universities in the world was in Alexandria.
Yeah.
And they had 100,000, I think 100,000 texts all written on papyrus. And, mm-hmm. you know, there was a shortage of papyrus. I don't know what else they used it for, but it was using it all up. And so the invention of paper was probably
Say, any children who did the Reader's Cup this week will be able to give you lots more uses for papyrus.
Did you put these poor children through with us?
How?
Well, one of the books, so when I did set the question for the Reader's Cup, I spend a lot of my summer reading books to find things that may be a little bit different. John Agard, the poet, has written a book called Book. And I really want to read this one now, because his book tells the story of Book, and Book is the narrator.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's absolutely brilliant. I wasn't quite sure how the children would take to it, but apparently parents absolutely loved it.
Mm.
So it literally goes through how books started, scrolls, papyrus, Biblos, which is the Greek equivalent, right up to date. It's absolutely fascinating. He took it on libraries.
Mm.
It's a short fairly short book, but full of
fascinating
facts. Yeah, so in conjunction with that, it's a really good pairing, actually.
Yeah, and also I think when you mentioned that, I remember a bit in the book where he discusses the point of no one's really sure when paper was exactly invented, because it was a process over, you know, a couple of decades. And what's interesting is that different people from different parts around the world at around the same time were all inventing different versions of paper, because society was developing at a pace where all of a sudden they needed to record things. It wasn't the fact that paper was invented and society changed. It was in fact the other way around. Society was already changing and paper came into play to help society grow, which I think is a really interesting idea about technology and how we interact with technology.
I can remember my children having a paper making kit where you made pages, and you actually had to soak newspapers and things like that, and then you'd put it onto this stretchy thing and come up with your sheet of not very good paper, but it was quite quite an interesting sort of exercise, and I got very, very excited about it. I felt I was sort of going back. But talking about Iraq and Frankenstein in Baghdad, the first ever written legal contract was done in Baghdad, and it was written on stone. That is the first in the world that there was a contract.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes, a lawyer told me that.
This is actually a sad fact that I found when reading this, because, you know, I'm a lover of books and a lover of paper, and so I think of paper and the written word as this super sacred thing. But reading this, I realized that the reason why they needed paper was basically for, as you say, for contracts and for trade and to record, you know, selling and buying
maps,
of things.
Maps,
and maps.
Yes.
And so I was like, well, hang on, isn't like paper, I thought it would be about fiction and writing novels and poetry.
Money.
No, it was money. It was about commercial and monetizing things, and I was like, well,
and actually recording
makes
things in so you were not having to carve it onto a, you know, that first contract was carved onto a stone where, you know, person A sold something to person B and they recorded it for posterity. Well, having to sort of be a stonemason and you know, would paper so much easier, but there are, I think it's and Mark is very, very well known for doing this, for finding these odd things. I mean, it was cod. He did one on
and
cod.
Salt.
And salt. Yeah. And now it's paper.
Yeah. And he has a lot of information. I mean, this is not a hugely thick book, to be fair, about the history of paper. But there is, it's crammed with facts and information that it's not overwhelming. And he's an easy writer to read, which is great. But there is a lot of stuff that you're not going to remember, but it's still fascinating to go through.
And he's at the festival. He's doing a session on paper, so on his book paper. But he's also, he's on one of the other panels, Yvette, I'm sure you remember. One of the other panels, it's to do with food, and I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's the cod, cod question that's coming in.
He's on a panel which is basically the world on a plate.
Yeah.
So you've got Claudia Roden on that, obviously, you know, veteran of the culinary world. And then you've also got Madhur Jaffrey, I believe, on that panel as well.
And then Mark Kalansky.
Mark Kalansky.
Really, really great. I think the panels for me at the festival are always fascinating. Ahmed Sadawi's on a panel with Mohammed Rabi. They're talking about horror, fiction horror. And he's on another panel with, I think, other IPAF winners. So you get different viewpoints, and they often can become quite heated. But that for the audience is brilliant.
It's great. Yeah, it's good to listen to and watch and learn from as well.
May I enlighten you as to the other uses of papyrus?
Yes,
because I found it now in My Name Is Book. They drank it, ate it, wore it, sailed in it, and then they wrote on it.
So that's why there was this. The Alexandria Library created because it was like this, the oldest library in the world of repute, and you know, all the great thinkers from Greece, from Rome, would all congregate in Alexandria. To sort of, I suppose, just, you know, increase their knowledge and their learning. And there was a papyrus shortage. And the other thing they did, which was really interesting, was any vessel that came into the port of Alexandria, they would send someone on board. They would take away any of the books there, which had also been probably written on papyrus. They would get their scribes to copy it onto papyrus and then give it back to the ship again. So they were increasing the sort of collective nature of books. Which I found that was just, you know, that was quite entrepreneurial.
Very.
I'm going to read this now. I've read Havana by him and I loved it.
You mentioned different kinds of paper earlier, Man.
Yeah.
So, and that was one thing that I didn't realise having a look through this, was that you've got your parchment and then you've got... and also he contrasted the fact that the Arab world was doing one thing with paper.
Exactly.
And then the West was doing something else. Have a listen to this. This is Mark telling us a little bit about this.
The Arab world in the Middle Ages was a tremendously literate society where people read, and there was mathematics, and there was fairly advanced accounting, and science, and poetry.
A lot of our classics comes through that period.
Yes.
Right? From the Greeks through the Islamic Middle Ages.
Right, and cookbooks. Cookbooks. And, you know, and in the meantime, so they made a lot of paper, and they tried to sell it to the Europeans. The Europeans weren't interested. Because European society, very few people read.
Yeah.
The few things that they did print, that they did write down, were in Latin.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we think now, oh, in those days, people used to read Latin. They didn't. Nobody understood Latin.
Well, it was for the scribes and the priests, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they'd produce a book every year or so.
Yeah.
And so they made them out of parchment, and that was fine. You know, you had to kill about 150 animals.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, papyrus and parchment, which we think of as the early things that were written, that's great stuff, but it's just not practical.
It's great stuff if you're not producing that much.
Yeah.
You know, like the Vatican wanted to have the great library of Christendom, and they had about 500 books.
Right.
And there were libraries all over the Arab Empire that would have hundreds of thousands of books.
Right.
If you're doing hundreds of thousands of books, you can't be doing them in parchment. You couldn't possibly slaughter enough animals.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's Mark Kalansky talking about his latest book, Paper, Paging Through History. Thank you to Man Jalal, who's come in to review the book for us today.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.